I don't think you can make just cold, hard decisions. Hey, I don't pay running backs, or I do pay running backs. I think every situation is its own, and so you're always trying with any deal, running back, receiver, linebacker, whatever it is, you're always trying to find what you think is the sweet spot that makes sense for you and for the player. This offseason, we found it with pretty much everyone we tried to get a deal done. He was the one. That's probably why we're at where we are. We got a lot of the deals done that we tried, and it's well known. We tried to get something done with Jimbo, and unfortunately, it takes two, and both sides have to agree on what that number is. And obviously that hasn't gotten there.
All right. Brandon Beam. It takes two. Brandon Beam joining us at 7:30 this morning. You can go back and check that out on YouTube. You can check it out on the apps and such, wherever you get your stuff. We talked with Brandon Beam about James Cook, and we're waiting to see, will he be out here today? Would it just be a one-day thing? I mean – He is the guy that tweeted, 15 mil.
Yep.
And then asked about that. I was like, yeah, I don't know.
Well, he's not getting fined. Could say that. He's here, right? They can't fine him.
That's right. They can't. I don't know. We didn't ask that. Like, what actions could you take? The answer might be some version of like, well, we'll worry about that later. Like,
Yeah.
They tried to sign him. They remain interested in signing him. And that's where this is always for me with the James Cook thing. Good morning. We are live from St. John Fisher. Coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher is brought to you by Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys. And driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. You and I have talked a lot about what would they do conceptually? Would they pay a running back? And
yep.
Bean's pretty good. He's never going to rule things out. Like he said, I'm not going to, cold, hard rule. I don't do this.
Yeah.
And, that answer there about paying running backs and you find the sweet spot, they do want him here. What their number is, that's what we don't know. If Cook wanted to just, whatever, if he left or if he felt the offer was unfair – right, with Hendrickson, they made a pair of offers, and the insiders in the NFL were like, these were embarrassing offers.
Yeah.
Really bad offers. And we came to know that because his agent, whoever, would have told everybody. That hasn't happened in this case. We haven't heard Pelissero, who said he thought the sides were not that far apart.
Yeah.
We haven't heard an insider say Cook is disgusted with the offers, which is something that obviously could have happened at any point here.
Right. Well, really, what could be the gap here is, and, the Bills can want to keep him all they want, but if you really, truly want to keep a guy, then you will value him closer to, what they're going to get on the open market. And Cook seems to think that the contract he's not getting from the Bills now, he's more likely to get next year. Because if he didn't think that, he probably would have signed for what was on the table. And I don't know, 15 million is what he tweeted out. What we, I think, know by that, at the least, is the Bills, they might value James Cook. They don't value him like he's one of the best running backs in football.
No.
They don't value him the way the Eagles value Saquon Barkley. They don't value him the way the Niners value McCaffrey. The Ravens do Derrick Henry. The Colts do Jonathan Taylor. They don't value him like that.
Right.
So there's wanting him, but then there's, we don't want him that much. And that's kind of, I think, where we are right now. They wanted Gabe Davis, but they didn't want him that much. They wanted Tremaine Edmonds. They didn't want him that much.
And the flip side is, Cook wants 15. Does he want 15 enough to sit out, or does he want 12?
By the way, it was 15. I wonder if it's gone up. Guys have been paid since he wanted 15.
Who got paid?
Derrick Henry got paid. Barkley got paid. These guys got raises, actually. They already had contracts,
Yeah. And
they got paid.
I mean,
so
Henry played
Chuba Hubbard
Chuba
got paid.
Hubbard got paid.
Like, he could have, it'd be crazy, I think, that he would, maybe he would have tweeted that out. Would he have tweeted out $16 million if he was asking for 16, though? He might have told us.
Possibly.
If he had actually raised the price. But, I don't know. That's the other part of it, is Brandon Beam says they want him, and they're having contract talks. I stopped believing it for like an hour and a half, 2 hours this morning. Because of that Pelissero report, but I'm kind of back to wondering if this is all just a a show to get him on the field with 1 year left in his contract, and they are okay with him walking away. Because they're never going to say that. They're never going to sit here and say, yeah, we don't value him like that. We're not going to pay James Cook. He's going to play the final year, and then we're done. They're not going to come on any show or interview and say that.
No,
this is what it would sound like if you didn't want to pay him.
Or you just didn't want to pay him all the way to the top.
That, right, yes. Yeah, would they pay him what James Conner got from the Cardinals, 9.5? I bet probably yes.
I think they would.
They probably would.
I think they would, yeah.
But what should he command? $9.5 million? That's the part of the debate we've had all summer. What is he worth? Is he worth what James Conner's worth, $9.5 million? Or is he worth closer to what Derrick Henry gets for the Ravens? Because I think he's a good player, very good player. He's not Derrick Henry or Saquon.
He's not Derrick Henry, but this is part of what we do with how replaceable guys are. We're over here talking. If you're Cook, you know, we do so much work about like Henry, McCaffrey, Barkley. If you're James Cook, would you sit here and say like Curtis Samuel's getting nine? let me be James Cook for a minute. I got somebody writing to me that I don't play enough snaps to make 9.5. Curtis Samuel's never on the field. He's hurt all the time. It's bad luck. I get it. But if you're James Cook, and I know different positions, so you don't have to explain that to me, but it's worth pointing out, like, wait a minute. I am the guy that touches the ball more than anyone other than Josh Allen. I am important to this offense. I ripped off 16 touchdowns, top 10 in yards over expected the last two seasons.
Yeah.
I am durable. I don't fumble, knock on wood, for both of those. I am worth $11 million a year given my positional status. That would make him one of the highest paid backs. This does ultimately get back to the point about positions. Like, look how much it costs you to get a receiver off the street in free agency that's somebody's third option. $11 million.
I was looking up Darnell Mooney. Darnell Mooney last year signed for $15 million a year. Like, I want Darnell Mooney money. When you put it that way,
you're like, that's not much at all.
Okay, that seems to make sense. Should James Cook get the same money that Darnell Mooney does? Without thinking about it for a second, you go, he should. He probably should get more.
But scarcity at a position. And
you can't.
Right, right.
I think you go into a contract negotiation with the team saying things like that, and you lose the room pretty quickly.
I agreed. Right. You got to go with your own comparables, your own positions. But, like, sometimes I feel like, you know, our conversations, people are freaking out about, oh, it's way too much. Like, oh, wait till you find out what they're paying, you know, but any old guy here.
That's the thing. Like, and there's a conversation about it's not just Cook versus Ray Davis. It could be Cook versus what do you do after the fact? Do you draft a guy if you and him don't align on a contract and don't come to an agreement? Or instead of paying Cook, let's say he doesn't come off the 15 or like $14 million. I could do that, or I could go pay. Who's the Tony Pollard equivalent? He makes 7.
Right.
Mentioned Chuba Hubbard. Okay. Chuba Hubbard makes 8. David Montgomery makes 9. Find a guy in that category, in that tier?
That right now, and I guarantee that tier right now is $10 million. Is it not?
But like, maybe they can't get Cook on $10 million.
If I'll do this. This is the exercise. We did this with receivers a lot, which is if I look at rankings of of running back salaries paid and just do it as percentage of cap when signed, right? Average per year percentage of cap. I'll pull up the running backs and here we go.
Because like last year, Connor signed and Hubbard signed. Like those are the two more recent examples, but this offseason it was Barkley and
so
it was Henry.
Connor signed for 3.7% of the cap in 2024.
Okay.
And
so that's last year.
David Montgomery was 3.57% of the cap last year. Aaron Jones, here's your best example. What did Aaron Jones just sign for?
I've got him at $10 million exactly per year.
Aaron Jones,
average.
David Montgomery, and James Connor all signed for effectively the same amount of money average per year on cap.
Okay.
Aaron Jones makes 10. David Montgomery makes 7. Like
Montgomery makes 9.3.
Okay, Montgomery 9.3.
9.1.
Gotcha. Ramondre Stevenson's in there as well.
Like, so it's different to like $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah. But it goes up. And like what did
next year it'll be 11.
11, sure. Sure.
Do you want to say $5 million? Do you want to say $4 or $5 million and sign?
If you just do percentage of cap, what you get is a big, big break from the top four running backs. So just forget 15, $20 million. McCaffrey signed for 7.4% of the cap. Barkley, 7.3%.
Yep.
Jonathan Taylor, 6.2% 2 years ago. That's why his number might even be really lower than it should be.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry, this year, 5.3%. Then I'm at Kamara, 4.8%. Jacobs, 4.7%. By the seventh running back, James Conner, the seventh back is at half of the top back. Mm-hmm. You've already come down 50% in value. So if James Cook wants to be paid like, I mean, can he be paid like Ramondre Stevenson? Ramondre Stevenson got 3.5% of the cap. What's that going to be, $10 million?
But that sounds like a number that they would have done.
Sure, I agree. What I'm getting at is you have
– he might be asking for 5.5%.
He might.
6%.
He might, and that's probably where – right. Where
that's
would
the gap.
Where would the Bills come in? I bet they'd be willing to come in under Josh Jacobs and over Ramondre Stevenson.
Maybe they would be willing to pay 3.5%, 4% of the cap, but Cook right now is asking for 6%.
Right.
And they're going, well – okay, we like him a lot, but do we want to go with 6% of the cap for him starting on a new deal that starts next year, or do we want to wait and sign Brian Robinson to a deal where we get him for 3%?
Right. Maybe instead of capping a dollar amount, right, you cap
– or Jaylen Warren.
Our top back's going to get, you know, 4.5% of the cap, and we'll go higher than that because we'll find somebody. 803-0550.
Or they'll draft a guy.
Yeah.
I don't think it gets done.
I don't want them to draft a guy. They want this
you
done.
Definitely do not.
I do not want them to draft
You want them to sign Brian Robinson.
Whatever. I don't know. I still want them to draft a guy. Just
or
don't draft
how about Kenneth Walker or Kyren Williams?
Yeah.
Well, he's supposed to sign. Breece Hall. These are the names of the free agents next year. How many of these guys will get away from their teams? Because right now, of that list, I think the only guy talking with their team about an extension is Kyren Williams.
Yeah.
I don't think that's happening with Kenneth Walker. That is not happening with Breece Hall. Jaylen Warren, Brian Robinson, the starting running back in Washington. That has not been a conversation there from what I've seen. So that's your list. So you want to replace him with a guy that's going to get a decent contract instead of the contract that maybe Cook's looking for. Like, that's your list. And honestly, Walker, Breece Hall, I mean, I expect that they get similar money to what Cook would get anyway. Right?
Yeah.
You're not getting those guys. If Cook's signing for 15, you're not getting Kenneth Walker for 10. I don't think.
I don't know. How good has Kenneth Walker been? Really good?
He's good. Yeah, he's good, right?
He's good.
I don't know how good the numbers are, but
yeah,
he looks dangerous. When he had the ball against the Bills last year, those couple of times, I think he got hurt in that game, didn't he? He looked good in that game.
They were missing Metcalf in that game. The Seahawks were as well. I just saw a stat on – oh, sorry, stat of the day. I'll save that for you. I remembered I have a stat of the day that I'll get to eventually. It's a baseball one, so we won't get to it here. You want to give us a ring, you can, 803-0550. We did speak with Bills GM Brandon Bean. I tweeted that last night. I knew this would be like such chum in the water. Like I tweeted Brandon Bean, 7:30 tomorrow. And then I just spent the next couple hours checking in on the replies.
Yeah.
What everyone's writing because, like, you know, back after the draft, we had our moment. When I became forever Jerry, and it became Jerry and Joe.
Yep.
You know, but it was fine. It was just the Cook thing is big news, and you know, for us to have basically the first chance to talk to anybody about it, and McDermott, I would imagine, will speak on it today.
Yeah, Bobby Babbage is meeting with the media now.
Yeah, this is
not you who you would expect to talk about James Cook.
Right. If it were Brady or McDermott, we probably would have carried. Live, but Bobby Babbage is speaking and said, so you'll probably hear that during the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up.
Yep.
So, but again, Babbage has got to talk about all the injuries, Rapp and Bishop. You know,
right.
Here's
Bishop again. I mean, one thing Brandon said to us, I asked him about Bishop, was that he probably won't be ready by the preseason game on Saturday. And man, like that is, he's supposed to be the guy.
Yep.
And we keep getting these injuries with him. So, That would be concerning. I mean, he is, I think, right now the biggest catalyst to that secondary getting a lot better.
Yeah.
If Harrison isn't going to be ready for the start of the season, so having him would be huge.
I always think there's a little bit of it's tough. It's the differences between reasons and excuses. If you look back to last year, the number of players where we say, well, he was hurt is long. Bishop, well, he was behind all the – okay. Kincaid, knee injuries. All right. Coleman, wrist injury. Okay.
Yep.
Samuel, turf toe. Yep. All right. Like on and on, it's everybody's nursing an injury. And right now, we're at a long list of players that we got to decide, is it reasonable to say that? Bishop, Hairston. Can I say it about Samuel again? Moore? Do I say it about, I mean, Rapp, now that he's hurt? Shakir, high ankle sprain. Last time he had one, he was able to kind of fight through it pretty quickly. What if this one's a little bit different? You know, sometimes they can be more problematic.
Sure.
So I'm not treating these injuries as nothing because, again, reasons or excuses, you decide. But we're piling up a long list of this guy is starting the year battling something. I know everybody's hurt. Everybody gets hurt. But to start the year battling something, like it's tough.
Yeah. Shakir last year, so he gets injured early in that Baltimore game. Again, I think it was the first or second drive. And Shakir, he misses the next game. He actually does end that game against the Ravens. 4 for 62 and a touchdown.
Yeah, the one was a 50-yard catch.
It was a 50-yard catch down the field. Broken play. He got behind the defense. They forgot about him. He didn't have a touchdown. Sorry, in that game. That was not a touchdown. So then he misses the next game. Doesn't play against Houston. Then he goes 2 for 19 against the Jets. Then against Tennessee, he's back. Like, so really, 2-3 weeks. It's like a 3-week time span before he's really performing at a high level again after that injury.
Yeah.
And then he went 7 for 65 against the Titans, then 9 for 107 against Seattle. So put a couple big games on after that. And you got this time between now and Baltimore. Like, maybe because of chemistry with Allen, he should be someone that we're not concerned about. Because with Samuel and with Bishop and, like, with these guys, there are further questions than just can they stay on the field. Whereas Shakir, there's a baseline. There feels like there would be a baseline chemistry knowledge between him and Allen. So I'm more wondering who steps in his void in the next couple of weeks. This is where Moore builds chemistry with Josh.
Christian Wilkerson.
This Christian Wilkerson.
If he's going to play special teams and be a dynamic receiver,
I think I'd be more into it as this is something to watch if he was younger.
You just can't stand the idea that he's just a flat out. He's a gamer. He's played 6 games. He got 3 touchdowns. Does he have the greatest touchdown per game ratio in NFL history?
No, he might.
3 touchdowns in 6 games.
How about 3 touchdowns in 2 career starts?
Come on.
How about that?
Yeah, he's in the mix. And McDermott, you know, kind of raved about him. If you're any player, position player, and you're on the bubble, or maybe even I mean, he might even have to climb up to get on the bubble. Hearing the head coach give you a shout-out is nice. Shavers, by the way, I think I saw McDermott called him Shaves.
Oh, he's got a nickname.
Shaves. Interesting. Shavers shortens to Shaves.
Shaves.
And Sabres shortens to what?
They're going to start a –
Sabes.
We'll wait until they have a jersey that says Sabes on
Get
it.
Get a jersey that says Sabes. Let's do that. I think he called them Shaves.
How far away are we from them bringing Chase Claypool back? Hey, he said really nice things about him. Didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, really? He's not on a team.
No.
Says he's stronger and faster than ever after missing the last season.
Claypool is?
He was with them all spring last year. Bring him in. Why not? What's different?
What's different is Claypool
is 27. He's younger than Wilkerson.
Claypool is your Keon insurance. So is Gabe Davis. Like they've got a role for that receiver, and if Keon's on the team, and now that they've seen a rookie year, they're probably I don't know, I feel like the Bills probably feel encouraged about Coleman doing what they are gonna ask him to do. You know, if you're we talk about this a lot with Coleman. Like if you're someone that hoped he would develop into a true number one receiver, like you might still have that hope. I don't think a lot of people really do. But can he do what they want him to do? I bet they feel pretty good about that. And he's having a nice camp. Does that matter? Well, you know, we'll see. But that's why Claypool's not here. Because, you know.
They need backups.
They do.
Wilkerson's here.
He is.
So they did that.
He's a gamer.
Do you know what Claypool's last play in the NFL was?
No.
Tua's pick to end the Bills-Dolphins game.
He intercepted it?
Taylor Rapp.
Taylor Rapp.
Won the division.
Yeah.
The The last play of that game, Dolphins have the ball. They're down seven? They're down seven in that game. Division on the line at home, and Tua goes to Claypool. Pick. Intercepted. I bring that up because I watched that game the other day. On Friday.
Just Bills Dolphins?
Came up. It was in the algorithm. I'm like, I'll watch this back. Because it is – it feels like the division has never been close. It's like, oh, yeah. They had a – Miami had a home game to win the division. And, like, that was it. They will not get closer than that, I bet.
They had a home game to win.
You had a home game to win the division.
Yeah, and they lost to a team that had a deflected touchdown scored on them.
I saw the Trent Sherfield play I had forgotten about. It's nuts.
And a punt return touchdown.
McDaniel's face after the catch by Sherfield. There were a lot of forgotten plays that I had forgotten about that. There's that one. Do you remember Fangio giving the Bills a first down with 10 seconds to go in the first half? Like, they all backed up on the goal line.
Yeah.
And the camera pans to Tua, who's, like, whipping his head back and forth. Like, what did we just do?
Yeah.
We just gave them 12 yards? What was that? It's a wild game. And then, of course, a punt return, yeah. Hey, listen, as lucky as the Bills got in that game, again, that's the closest Miami ever came to winning the division. What did their high-powered offense do? 14 points. The whole game.
The news on Josh Palmer, Matt Parrino tweeting out, groin injury. But he is in uniform. Appears he will practice today.
Okay.
So Josh Palmer back.
The receivers are just dropping like flies here.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he's fine. What number does Wilkerson wear? 82?
Yes.
Keep an eye on him. Deion Kane is still around?
Yes.
All right.
We will get a break in.
Raheem Morris just announced that neither Michael Penix or Kirk Cousins will play in their first preseason game.
This is where you offer me $100 to tell you who will.
The Falcons' third-string quarterback. What are they doing to Cousins? Not that he would want to play in the preseason, but let the man free.
The Falcons' third-string quarterback.
Who's the Falcons' third-string quarterback? I should really start studying the Giants' step chart. Who's going to be playing? Oh, we're going to get Jameis on Saturday, aren't we?
Nice.
Let's go. That's going to be fun. Always fun.
The Falcons' third-string guy is Taylor Heinicke.
He's in L.A.
Okay.
They're number two. Easton Stick.
Obviously.
Is the third-string quarterback.
That should have been that was obvious. I should have had that. All right. We'll step aside. And we're on James Cook Watch. We're watching players walk out, see if anybody's making their way onto the field and what level of helmet and such.
Yep.
So we'll keep you posted. Jeremy and Joe, live from St. John Fisher on WGR.
Follow that, Mimi Rhodes. Kiriakou, 2 an inch. Having a little healthy hand from your partner there. My God. What a thrill. What a shot.
So, yeah. Greatest, craziest golf shot ever. I haven't seen every golf shot ever hit on this planet. I think that's the one. So if you have not seen this, this is Mimi Rhodes gets an ace. They're playing at the AIG Women's Open. Steph, I don't know how to say her name. Steph K. Puts it to what? 2 inches?
Yeah.
They're a par three. The first woman goes, hits it to 2 inches from the hole. Wow. Tough act to follow there. Mimi Rhodes then hits her shot, 184-yard par three, lands on the green, rolls up, banks off of the other ball, and into the hole for a hole-in-one.
It's amazing. It's incredible.
The play-by-play call deserves, I don't believe what I just saw. It is... the most incredible golf shot ever. When that highlight hit my feed, Joe, I saw, bank shot for the hole-in-one. I thought, oh, wow, all right. I'd love to watch someone get lucky. Would they hit off the hospitality tent? You know, and it ricochets onto the hole. And another one of these people that gets a hole-in-one they don't deserve. No. It bounced off the other ball that was also 2 inches. Incredible. unparalleled.
You still could say, though, it's a hole-in-one that she didn't necessarily deserve, right?
I mean, a little lucky, I guess.
Little lucky.
The fact that the first woman hit it close enough to bank it off.
Right, okay, like if you – but that's if the sequence is what's incredible.
Yes.
The sequence, I could – Am I gonna get this? You know, with wording here, I would be willing to call it the craziest sequence in golf that I've ever seen. Craziest shot?
What's crazier?
Listen, I saw Tiger Woods once hit a 260-yard 3-wood out of the bunker,
not crazier.
Over water. How about his chip on 16 at the Masters? I don't know. Who at the Open Championship? Who banked it off a rock wall?
Remember that one? But the rock wall was in front of the.
How about
did it on purpose?
Jordan Spieth on a cliff, chipping the ball 100 feet into the air as he then runs down the cliff.
I do enjoy the clip of Spieth running down a cliff.
Not knowing whether he's headed for like a
death.
Void.
Yeah.
Death, right? Because the camera pans away from him.
That's right. Every step he takes.
Jordan Spieth is running down maybe to his impending death. We don't know. The camera pans to the golf ball. we're more interested in the shot here.
Yeah, that's
right. He's 3 feet away. What happened to Spieth? So, craziest sequence. I'll go with that. It's an amazing shot. I don't need to poo-poo it. It's very. What about Michael Block dunking a hole-in-one at the PGA?
That's pretty good.
That one's pretty good. A lot of people here when I saw that live.
Yeah, flying one in, jarring it. That's pretty good.
It's in the conversation.
Yeah.
I'll give her that. It's definitely in the conversation.
NFL preseason gets going fully this week. We saw the Hall of Fame game. But the story here is, and top line, NFL.com, Bills GM Brandon Bean was not fully aware of Cook Holden plans before practice. He told us. So, I don't know. I don't know if every one of these he spoke on, hey, look at that. NFL.com has it as the Jeremy and Joe show, not Jerry and Joe. All right. NFL.com.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Thank you, NFL.com. You got it right.
Yeah, but anyway.
I haven't seen him yet, by the way. I've been looking.
Cook? Okay.
I haven't seen Cook. I mean, there's a lot of guys not out here yet, but haven't seen any of the running backs. Won't that be – don't the position groups often walk out together? The quarterbacks walk out together, at least. I know that. But I'm not sure about
the quarterbacks walk out together when they're not racing. Because they do often –
Well, they probably shouldn't race on concrete.
They do often race.
Yeah, they do. Anyways, players coming out eventually. A couple things from around the league, by the way, that I was reading this morning. So Nick Chubb apparently does not look good in Texans camp. And Joe Mixon is out. And Chubb, by one beat reporter, quote, the burst is nowhere to be found. So he might be toast.
That's tough.
Robbie Chosen is back in the league with the 49ers. And if you're a deep fantasy player, there's a rookie running back in Chicago whose name you should probably know.
Oh, don't tell me. This guy, I do remember, 7th-round pick, right?
Yep.
Because he's going to be – because everyone thinks that Ben Johnson hates DeAndre Swift.
Yes.
Right. Okay, what's
everyone
his name again?
So. Kyle Monen guy.
Yeah.
7th-round pick.
Monen guy?
I think that's how you pronounce it.
Monen guy?
That's how Pro Football Reference says it.
Okay.
But anyways, he is – where was the quote? From Ben Johnson. He, quote, a guy that we are going to – that we are going to be able to trust this fall.
That Monen guy is a guy we can trust.
Yes. So, late-round pick. Throw a flyer at him.
What else you got for fantasy finds and fantasy fades? Anything? Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt.
Hold on. I got another one for you.
Don't forget about him. Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt.
I don't know that one.
He is a running back with the Commanders, and he's been getting snaps with the ones. Just saying.
Actually, Pro Football Reference, Monungai.
Okay.
Is the running back. You'll know how to spell it, or you'll see it.
Yes.
There's a Pat Freiermuth movement in Pittsburgh. The beat reporters are all about his camp. One, Mark Caballé called him, quote, the heartbeat of the offense in Pittsburgh.
I would expect that.
Good for them. They traded for a wide receiver, signed a quarterback, and traded for a tight end all this offseason. And the tight end that had been there is the guy that's the heartbeat of the offense. Okay. Sure. Oh, one more for fantasy. Talked about James Conner last segment and his contract. very good player. He's beat his ADP 5 years in a row. James Conner has beat his ADP 5 years in a row. He's always a value. Although, there is talk in Arizona of a co-RB1 situation.
Yes, I saw that.
James Conner and Trey Benson.
Conner said that it's 1A, 1B, and that Trey Benson is going to get a lot of snaps.
Okay.
So Conner said that.
Okay, so whether you should believe that or not, Benson did nothing last year. Like, that was the rookie running back that was kind of the hot pick in fantasy last year, third-round guy, and, nothing. Played 13 games, 291 yards, and a touchdown. Like, really wasn't a factor.
Yep.
It was all James Conner.
James Cook is here. He is not dressed for practice day two.
Okay.
Not in uniform, James Cook. The hold-in begins. I guess it continues.
Continues, yeah.
How does it end? I mean, what are we going to do?
If it doesn't end in a contract, how does it end? He just shows back up?
I guess.
He starts practicing. He starts playing. Rank him. Showing back up.
Trey
him
Hendrickson
missing games. Him being traded. I mean, I think that's the least likely.
Show back up is just him. Trey Hendrickson drove to Florida to make a point and then just flew back and went to practice. And then he is also.
Well, he's not practicing.
He is right. He's holding in.
Right.
Yeah.
I would still say he does this for a little bit. Maybe he misses a week. Maybe he misses 2 weeks. And before the Baltimore game, is at least he's back practicing and he's playing games.
Yep.
I would say after that, what's second most likely? Him signing a contract?
Yeah.
That's second. Third is he misses games.
Yep.
And fourth is he's traded.
Yes, I would agree.
That feels like a fair ranking?
Although, I might want to swap 3 and 4. I just don't think there's any world he's missing games.
You think it's more likely he would be
traded.
Dealt?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
But I still think that's unlikely, too.
Yeah.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550.
Also, winter hat for James Cook today. I mean, it's chilly, but it's not.
Taylor Rapp back in uniform, back in practice. He missed yesterday with a knee injury.
Okay. The Bills have also released Cameron Klein, defensive end. That's one move they made. They also added Dan Feeney, an offensive lineman, and released an offensive lineman who has a sweet name that I didn't even know they had called Rush Reimer. Rush Reimer has been released, Dan Feeney, who started 3 years with the Chargers.
Rush Reimer.
Rush Reimer.
Design Rush Reimer as a movie character. Rush Reimer is...
A character being played by Jason Statham.
Okay, I don't mind that.
I haven't got that happening.
I feel like Rush Reimer is a name of a defensive end in another movie, television series about Texas football.
That doesn't have the rights to the NFL?
Yeah, yeah. Or just like whatever.
High school football?
Yeah, it's like Friday Night Lights about another Texas team.
Oh, okay.
And,
yep.
Of course, like edge rusher Rush Reimer.
Yep, I can see
huge,
that.
Huge, huge player in this game.
Yeah, he was blocking for – if you watch the Friday Night Lights TV show, you'll know his name. Rush Reimer is blocking for Smash Williams.
Smash Williams.
Yeah, he's blocking for Smash Williams in
All
Friday
right.
Night Lights.
803-0550. When we get back, you know, we've got Lamar and Josh seeking their first title. They're not alone. A new name has entered the great, great – debate, the great conversation of when will he get his first. Tell you why that's Joe next.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, so day two of James Cook's hold in. Not practicing with the team, not dressed in uniform. He is here. You know, there's a point about whatever. Right? We don't know what it's like to be in these situations. It's probably not fun for Cook. He wants to get paid. He's worked hard his whole life, blah, blah, blah. But it is kind of funny. If he wasn't actually here, he'd be fine because he'd be holding out.
Yeah.
What if he stayed in the dorm room? Does he have to be on the field?
Good question.
Does he have to – what – this is like what counts as crossing the plane? What defines a catch? What defines you're here?
Yeah. You're attending. If you're on the field, you're attending. right?
Yeah.
If you are in the lock, if you're in your dorm room, I don't feel like you are attending.
Okay.
You know,
I think that's right.
How many walks of life can you get away with that though?
Yeah, right.
Like if I just show up to work tomorrow, but I don't do anything.
Yeah, imagine we did a show and you just sat there.
I just
silently.
Sat there silently.
Jaron Joe.
I don't think that would count. As me being at work.
He's holding in.
Right. Holding in. Maybe everyone should start doing
holding
this
in
work. You know, like, oh, I didn't get that raise I wanted. I'm gonna go in and not do anything. This is the only profession you can do that, I think.
Yeah. It's up there. There's a joke in there, like plenty of professions people hold in their whole life, just, you know, show up and don't work. Isn't that Office Space? Anyway,
<Yes. laughs>
congratulations to WGR host Nate Geary and his playing partner, Zach Travis. They won the member guest at Wanaka, North Gansen. So in the last 2 weeks, we have two WGR employees. First, me with my partner Scott Weinstein at Transit Valley, won the member guest. This weekend, Nate won a member guest. WGR stands for winning as guests regularly. Or winning golf really. So, anyway, Joe.
Winning golf rings.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know.
Joe,
so now I need one.
Joe, when's you got a member guest under here? You got a title yet?
I do not have a title.
When are you going to get your first? When's it going to happen?
Will he win his first will be the conversation for years now.
Oh, jeez.
Years.
What happened this time? Oh, I didn't get it done, huh?
Yep.
Oh, boy. Man, sorry.
I haven't even made it to the playoffs yet.
Wow, look at this. What are you, Joe Burrow?
This is a tough standard to live up to. Winning a member guest, I told you this in break. Like, I would take winning one in the next 20 years.
Yeah.
Give me one. If you told me you won't win one for 17 years, but you'll win one then, sign up.
Yep.
I'm good.
Well,
I'll do that.
Someday.
You know, you guys winning on your first try. I mean, it's probably not Nate's first try. You winning on your first try is ridiculous.
Yes, that is ridiculous.
And then Nate following it up the next week after.
He's been in it a couple years. Maybe like as many as 5 or 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Maybe more. I feel like I'm back to Friday Night Lights. Riggin's dad, when he shows him the rings, like, someday maybe you get one of these.
Yes.
I need a ring. Yeah, Joe, someday. Maybe someday.
Uh-huh.
All right. Tomorrow, what's going on tomorrow?
This is motivation. I need the bulletin board material. I'm going to have a bulletin board set it up in my room at home now.
Yeah.
With all of these.
We're in studio tomorrow. I would imagine we're going to hear from Sean McDermott after practice, right? Talk about Cook. I mean, the Bills, we had Brandon Bean on it. So McDermott on that maybe.
Or tomorrow.
Yeah, we're back Wednesday.
Or Wednesday.
Yeah, we're back Wednesday, Thursday to have the last two practices at camp. We'll check in with a couple more guests along the way. And, you know, keep watching this Cook story. Thanks for listening, texting, calling. If you're watching this on the stream, like and subscribe to the WGR channel. You got to do that. That's your job. And if you don't do it, we're going to hold in.
we will just sit here silently.
Stone-faced.
On the stream.
Feels like it won't be that effective. but
probably not.
We'll try it. All right. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up. You'll probably hear from Bobby Babich during that. We did not carry that live. But maybe get that to you in the next show. Back in studio tomorrow. We'll talk to you bright and early, 6 a.m. on WGR.